Is that how you would sort of describe your journey a little bit of identifying gaps and moving into these positions, probably before you actually felt ready?
Absolutely, before I felt ready. Everything before I felt ready. That's a lot to do with yourself as well, right? And your mindset. Growing wide mid-experience is just as important as growing seniority, right? And the seniority will come with experience and breadth of experience and time in different types of roles. One thing that I overcame is just letting go of this feeling of needing to be perfect at something, because learning is the journey, right? Learning is what grows you as an individual and will grow your career to more senior roles if that's your ambition. So actually being okay with the discomfort of not knowing all the answers in a new role and surrounding yourself with the right people in your team that can help understand, complement and grow your capability too.
Welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast. It is an honor to have you on today, and I'm really looking forward to having this conversation because you are a woman that has had a very inspiring career journey. You've worked your way up, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of lessons and opportunities for us to all learn from you. But before we go into the podcast today, can you just give us a very quick introduction into yourself and your career journey? So Lauren, over to you.
Thank you so much, Georgie. I don't know how quick I'll be.
Take your time.
All of these career journeys are long and winding with lots of bumps. I think like many career journeys, mine has been shaped over time with probably not so many purposeful choices and corners turned. I think lots of learning along the way. And I've always focused on things that give me energy. I've chased people that give me energy and people that I can sort of learn from. And I think one thing that will come out through this conversation is that my career has been shaped by many bold choices. And I think it's fair to say that the majority of those choices I've felt 50% ready for, I think, in reality. But being bold and backing yourself and making choices is absolutely important to building a career. So I'm the Executive General Manager for Delivery at Suncorp. I'm part of the technology department, report into our Chief Information Officer. Suncorp is an organisation, financial services here in Australia, where insurance as well as banking. And I'm accountable for all of our project delivery. So that is anything that requires change investment. I have a big team of people that can execute against those projects and initiatives. I started my career in recruitment.
lucky you.
I started my career in recruitment. I was studying my degree, which is commerce with a major in organizational psychology. And I was working for a recruitment company that specialized in technology recruitment as well. And I found myself recruiting for change managers, so organizational change managers. I sitting there going through multiple CVs, reading, you know, what this thing was about, while also completing my org psych master at university. I started to think, you know, this might be something that I'd like to have a go. The careers were really interesting. The role was really interesting. And anyway, that was my first bitty bold moment. Was instead of sending a whole lot of CVs to my client, I went for a walk down the hill to see them myself and pitched an opportunity to hire me as a change manager. Junior burger, no idea, just a whole lot of enthusiasm and a whole lot of drive, and yeah, they liked it. So that was the beginning of my career in delivery, change management, so organizational change management, and the rest is history, really. I went through a series of different roles, all in financial services, AMP, CBA, Suncorp, now a whole lot of different delivery roles. I've started Tools of the Trade being change management, but found my way through sort of multiple different leadership roles in delivery, governance and execution. And now having been, 12 years, almost 12 years at Suncorp, I'm still loving delivery roles. I've led big delivery teams here at Suncorp. I've led some big transformation programs. I've set up an enterprise project management office for the group. And yeah, now I'm leading our delivery practice. So all-encompassing delivery across the group. Suncorp supported me in many, many ways. I have been supported incredibly to build my career and my family at the same time. Now, I know that this is down to a whole lot of hard work. People remind me often, but it's equally down to the right environment and the right leadership, sort of to support all of the different career movements. I was promoted into my first really big leadership role, and when I mean big, I go kind of big team, big budget, big accountability. I actually accepted the role on my very first day back from mat leave with my first child. I remember walking into my leader of the time's office and accepting it literally on the first day back. I was then the same leader, amazing, beautiful leader, offered me the head of enterprise portfolio management role when I was 6 months pregnant with my second. So yeah, knowing that I was about to go and have my number two baby, but confident that I was the right person for the role, gave me that opportunity too. And then believe it or not, the role I'm currently in, I actually was offered that while I was on mat leave with my third, halfway through, right? So wasn't even at the end, halfway through with absolutely no conversation or question or pressure to come back early. It was just a really great opportunity, right role, right person, and didn't matter about the circumstances. Suncorp supported me. So yeah, I think in terms of my career journey, it's been a whole lot of really bold choices for me. And I'm sure we'll get more into that. But then in an environment, like making purposeful choices in an environment that's going to support me to achieve my career ambition, but also my family ambition. And yeah, just a lot of hard work.
Right.
There's a lot in there.
No, that was absolutely amazing. And I'm sat here smiling, but also feeling a sense of reflection because your story is rare. I'll be honest, it is rare. And it actually really saddens me to say this. And that's why I really want to kind of pick it apart, because there's a few things that you've said in there that really stood out to me. The first one, obviously, was you made bold choices and you did things when you felt 50% ready. I think especially as women, we wait until I'm going to do that when I feel really ready. And we wait and we can't wait. We need to take those bold actions and put ourselves out of our comfort zone. So that's the first piece that I thought was really, my ears pricked up. The second piece was this leader that I want to talk about, because I wish that corporations had more leadership like this. And the fact that this person enabled you to continue to grow despite the fact that you had a pair of functioning ovaries and you wanted to have a family, right? That unfortunately is just not the reality in our society and in the world right now. And I think a lot of women miss out on so many opportunities and promotions because they want to have a family. So can we talk first and foremost about this type of leadership that you've experienced? What about this person really stands out for you personally? What kind of traits and characteristics do they have? Because I think there's so much to learn from just that piece.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's been definitely this one leader that really did really did support me. And I think these choices are as much about the organization and the leader as it is about you. Building my career and building my family at the same time is a bold choice, right? Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest, this leader called me when I was on maternity leave with my first, and I still remember standing in my backyard, and she said to me, "Well, why haven't you applied for this role?" And I thought, hang on a sec, why haven't I? Well, maybe because, and there's so much pressure, and there's so much that goes on in your mind when you're coming back from maternity leave, particularly when it's with your first. I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe I'm not ready for it. Maybe I'm not going to have the capacity to do it. What about my baby? What about my family? Why haven't you applied for this role? And I thought, that's a really good question, and I can't answer it. So I'm going to have a think. And I'm thinking and having a chat to my dad, my husband. He said, "Well, what's the worst that could happen? You don't get it." And that's okay. I thought, yeah, that's right. But she really pushed me to think about what it is that I wanted, and really challenged why I couldn't do this and why I needed to take a back seat just because I'm now a mum. So anyway, I think the first leadership quality, Georgie, is that she really challenged my thinking. Mm. She challenged my thinking. And then the reason why I accepted the role on my first day back from mat leave is because I still wasn't sure that I was going to be able to do it and that I could balance it. And there was just this great world of unknown. And I remember sitting in her office and I said to her, "I really feel green. I feel really green." And I did. And this was less about being a new mum, and it was more about having this really, really big gig and actually could I actually do it? And she actually got quite firm with me. And she said, "That's the last time I want to hear any self-doubt." Wow. And I thought, oh dear, I've made her angry on my first day. And then pulled myself together, and she kind of said, "Look, I'm here to support you. Use my time wisely. But there's a reason why I've given you this job. So let's get on and do it then." And it's that sort of an attitude in a leader that you really need sometimes. I've got so many of these stories that I'm sure we'll share over the next little bit, but that just this, it's a little bit of tough love, I think, to kind of go stop with the silliness in going on in your own head. I've given you this for a reason, and I'm here to support you, which I really need in a leader as well. But then looking more broadly across the organization, I've worked for kind of several leaders since her, and they've given me the same opportunity. They really have. And I think that you can't walk past hard work. There is just going to be hard work, and making sure that you really make every opportunity to prove your ability, and the right organization will pay back that.
I completely agree. And obviously you've just touched upon something really important there as well, is that you've also got to be in the driver's seat of your own life and your own career. You've got to show up, you've got to be visible. Like you say, you've got to do the work. But I think one of the worst pieces of career advice I've ever heard is just get your head down, do the work. You have to still be seen in the business. So let's talk about yourself right now, because I'm sure you were doing an incredible job to get noticed by these key people in Suncorp, to say, right, we want Lauren to be on this project. Let's get Lauren for this promotion over here. So looking back and reflecting over the last sort of 12 years, how have you been visible? How have you continued to grow your skill set and be really seen and valued within the business?
Mm. Yeah, it's a really, really good question. And I think that my approach to every role I've taken kind of has been just to be open to any opportunity that comes your way. And like, I've had a couple of curveballs where I've gone like, really, that's not on the game plan. Like, I hadn't even thought about that being on the game plan, but being open to it and giving things a go, being a delivery professional and being asked to run a first line risk team was a kind of a bit like that for me. it wasn't on the game plan. I didn't really know a lot about it, but oh my gosh, it gave me an opportunity to learn a completely different part of the business, be exposed to absolutely different parts of the business, stakeholders, processes that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to get exposure to. So I think the first thing is just keeping a real open mind, and the opportunities will flow to you as well. I also, exposure is important, and there are certain roles within an organization that will give you more exposure than others. The Enterprise Project Management Office role was a very heavy governance role for me, and there was a lot of paperwork, there was a lot of politics, but it was very high exposure. And it was one that gave me an opportunity to learn that part of an organization, which is so important, particularly in highly regulated financial services. But equally, it gave me the opportunity to understand how executive teams worked, how boards worked, and to get that exposure as well. So I'm quite thoughtful in terms of the type of roles that, it might not tick every box for you, but it might tick a box to be able to give you some of that exposure learning and career development that's really needed on the way.
And I think as well, like a lot of people, when they look at their careers, they think they should just be going upwards. And actually it's a zigzag, isn't it? It's like careers aren't sort of up, they're linear. They kind of go zigzag. And you actually say, I always look for patterns because I do think success leaves clues. And I'm fascinated by how some people reach incredible positions, reach their true potential and are constantly sort of climbing, and other people really struggle. And I'm trying to spot things. And you just said something then that Sarah Carney, who's the CTO of Microsoft, said. She said she found jobs that she could do, what she said, standing on her head, but at the same time, so she went in, she did it really well, but she also identified her weaknesses. And she identified, if I want to get to there, what else do I need to know? Where are my gaps? Oh, I need to learn more about policy, or like you said, risk, or there's an opportunity coming up over here to maybe get some more leadership exposure. And it was just this constant moving around and sidesteps that then eventually got her to where she needs to be. Is that how you would sort of describe your journey a little bit, of identifying gaps and moving into these positions probably before you actually felt ready?
Absolutely, before I felt ready. Everything before I felt ready. That's a lot to do with yourself as well, right? And your mindset. But yeah, look, I think growing wide mid experience is just as important as growing seniority, right? And you will only get the seniority will come with experience and breadth of experience, and time in different types of roles. You learn different business problems that you need to try and navigate through. You absolutely learn different leadership challenges, because that's just as much of it. Business problems to solve, but then particular leadership challenges that you need to understand and work through. I think one thing that I overcame, probably mid-career, I was going to say early, but probably not early enough, is just letting go of this feeling of needing to be perfect at something, because learning, like, it is the journey, right? Learning is what grows you as an individual and will grow your career to more senior roles if that's your ambition. So actually being okay with the discomfort of not knowing all the answers in a new role, and surrounding yourself with the right people in your team that can help understand, complement, and grow your capability too, I think is really important.
Absolutely. Having the right people in your circle, and also the right people sponsoring you as well, you know, saying, oh, Lauren's great for this and Lauren does this. So that's absolutely crucial. But I want to sort of talk about leadership now, because I speak with a lot of women that are struggling to take the next step in their career. They want to step up into a leadership role, but they're feeling a bit stuck, or perhaps they're in a leadership role and they're not feeling very supported. So what's been your approach when it comes to leadership? You've obviously now managing a team of, I can imagine, a lot of people. What have you learned from great leaders, not so good leaders, and how do you sort of manage and sort of, like, I guess, lead your team right now?
Yeah, like my number one rule, I don't know if I can say this, Georgie, but my number one rule is you don't work for DHEDS. that's the first thing, right? Like I've actually made choices in my career to move away from leaders because I didn't think that they were going to support me. And I think that's something that people need to lean into at times because it is as much a leader's role to grow, to help grow your career as it is in, is it your role to kind of grow your own development as well. And I think that there are many, many companies that don't prioritize that in a leader's role. So that would be my number one piece of advice. Don't work for DHEDS and make sure that the leader is kind of working for you as well. But when I sit down and kind of speak to, when I sit down and speak to my team or people that kind of I work with to help solve these sort of problems, and it's often the number one problem, how do I progress? What's next for me? How do I find my way? I always go back to be really thoughtful about the type of roles, the type of work, but also the type of leaders that give you energy. And equally, be really thoughtful about the type of ones that suck your energy. You might be really good at something, but it could absolutely suck the living daylights out of your soul. You don't love it. You don't love it. It doesn't give you a buzz every time you go back. So I kind of get them to get people to write a list. What builds energy? What sucks energy? And to start to shape career choices based on what brings you energy. And it's both people, it's teams, and it's work. And if you move away from trying to hunt down a job title to trying to hunt down the work that brings you energy, what's worked for me is that that energy results in really great outcomes, right? Because you're showing up every day, you're engaged to solve problems, you want to work with the people around you. And that sort of energy, great work breeds success. It breeds success. So they're kind of the sort of things that I've worked through with my team, but also what I've kind of applied to my own decision making and career choices. It's kind of, there's been some purposeful steps. There's been some that have just kind of evolved just from good work, good visibility, and then the opportunities come. But I think the kind of final point I'd make is that being prioritizing network and prioritizing relationships, sponsorships is really important. As important as kind of doing the good work, particularly in big organizations. You can be doing a great lot of work but be hitting the corner and not being given the exposure. So there's a difference between mentoring and sponsorship as well. You can have a mentor that can help coach you through elements, but sponsor is the one that at the seat at the table when talent choices are being made or when they're talking about any opportunity and they're the ones that sponsor you. So I think it's important to make sure that you understand that. And equally the kind of energy and energy sucker activity I do with people, I also write out your boardroom. Like if it was your boardroom of people that are there to support you for different reasons, who are they? Be clear on them. And you need to make sure that you feed those relationships just as much as doing really good work.
I just love everything you just said then, especially with that whole sort of like, you know, picking your boardroom analogy, like who would you want in that room? That's just so powerful. I don't think people think about it that way. I think they just sort of like, some people just come to work every day, get their head down, do the work, go home, and then wonder why in a couple of years' time they're not where they want to be. And I think, like I said, success leaves clues. So one thing that Pam and I definitely talk about is networking internally. And with a big business like Suncorp, for example, like I think there'll be so many opportunities to, you know, transition and mobilize the workforce and go into different departments. So any advice when you sort of think that internal networking piece, you mentioned networking there, I think it's so important. Yes, external networking, but also internal networking within the business as well. How have you sort of gone about building your internal network within the four walls of such a huge business like Suncorp?
Yeah, well, I am in delivery and projects. You are so lucky because the majority of the things that you do every day touch a whole lot of the organization. So by default, you find yourself making a whole lot of friends because you're going in and working across technology and business. So I'm very lucky from that perspective that you can kind of network. But those that aren't, it needs to be purposeful. I always think it's important that someone has an internal within the four walls mentor, as well as external outside of the four walls mentor, that can help make some of these connections. Some of the best conversations I've had with people is just sitting down with them and saying, can you just tell me a bit about you and your career and the ups and the downs and this and the that's and the just what, how did you do what you've done? And then you start to learn about different parts of the business. Your interest might be pricked in terms of one of their roles, and then they can introduce you to someone else to know a little bit more about it. So I think being purposeful and having conversations about other parts of the business and other people's careers is important work. People go, that's not productive. I'm not doing what you are doing your day job. You're building your career, and it's really, really important. And like the final thing I'd say on that is never, ever, ever have I had anyone say no. You reach out for a coffee and you say, can I have a coffee? I just want to hear a little bit more about your role and your career. Never have I ever had anyone say no to me. So I think it can be a little bit nerve-wracking for people to reach out and to kind of ask for some time, and everyone's really, really busy, but you'll find that I've never had anyone not prioritize this. And Suncorp is a very friendly, open culture, and I have been here for 12 years, so I might have a rude awakening if I go anywhere else and people say no, but, you know, I just think it's just a lovely way to spend 30 minutes, and a lot of people would be very, very open to sharing experiences.
Totally agree. And I think it's utilizing those moments around the coffee machine and it riding up in the lift, you know, and just striking a conversation. Oh, hi, you know, just my name's Georgie and haven't seen you before, Lauren. Well, what do you do? Just being curious. I think that's the key piece, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Mm. And that word is exactly the one that was going through my mind while you were speaking. Just have a curious mind.
Yeah.
Have a curious mind. And it's important not to label things as you build your career. Like this point I made before around don't chase the title, chase the energy, chase the work. And you can only get a sense from that by talking to lots of people and kind of really understanding the depth of what people do every day.
Absolutely. And then you can do your job better because you're really understanding problems and finding solutions, right? And all a business is lots of people working together, right? Like we are ultimately businesses all about people. Look, you've had an amazing career. There's no doubt about that. And you will continue to do so. But if you reflect back, have there been a few points where you've come up against anything that you had that was a bit challenging to navigate, any sort of barriers? And I guess especially as a woman in tech as well, because there aren't enough of us and I want to see more females coming through into technology roles. But when you sort of reflect on your long career, maybe outside of Suncorp, anywhere else, have there been any moments that was a bit of a barrier that you had to overcome? Because I think you can learn so much from those experiences.
So many.
Oh, this is a whole podcast in itself.
Wow, so many. Well, it's interesting, right? Because there are, there are so many barriers to building a great career, and I've experienced a heap, and I'll experience a heap more. And I think it's about kind of leaning into them. The biggest one, which I feel passionate about talking about, Georgie, is the confidence to take these bold actions and bold choices. And I think we label it a whole lot of things, whether it's imposter syndrome, whether it's confidence, you can label it whatever it is, whatever you want. But there are times in careers, and I know men feel this too, but definitely females, where I just thought to myself, I am not ready for this, and everyone else is mad. They're crazy for thinking that I can do it. They are crazy. There is no way. And I think having the ability to overcome the internal voice that is really loud in these moments, trust that you have people in your corner that are there to support you and to and to give it a go is probably one of the biggest barriers that I've overcome. And I don't know whether overcome's the right word. You kind of get a bit better at it, but I'm not sure it ever will 100% go away. The first time I really felt this was early in my career, was working as a change analyst, and I was given the opportunity to lead the program that I was working on. And I remember thinking to myself, holy moly, there is no way. I don't even know where to start. Like, what am I going to do? I thought that my leader was bonkers for thinking that I could do this. Anyway, I called my dad. Now, my dad has, it just happens to be that my dad also had a career in delivery insurance as well. It just happened to work out that way that it wasn't purposeful, but I ended up following the same career path as him. And I remember calling him. I was walking down Pitt Street in Sydney having a total flip out. Like, I don't know why they are giving me this opportunity. It's absolute madness. And he listened really patiently to me for a while. And then he said, okay, well, why don't you go back and tell them to give it to someone else? Oof. And I thought, no, not what I'm going to do. But again, just like that boss on my first day back from mat leave, taking the big gig, it's a little bit of tough love that works for me to be able to break the kind of death spiral mindset that's going on around, I can't do it, I can't do it, this is crazy, I can't do it. And to kind of go, hang on a sec, well, you know, okay, if you can't do it, go and tell them you can't do it. Which I, of course, went, no, that's mad. No, I'm not going to do that. And he said, all right, well, then let's start talking about what the first step is that you're going to take. And I thought, okay, deep breath, can get through it. But I reflect on that specific conversation, just like the one I had on my first day back from mat leave, where I go, there's a little bit of tough love you need to give yourself here and say, there is a reason why they have given this to you, and toughen up and let's get on with it. There's this article, Georgie, that Gail Kelly wrote. I don't know if you know it. It's 7 Lessons of Business and Life. So, you know, Gail Kelly, ex-CEO of Westpac, and upon her retirement, she wrote this article for Sydney Morning Herald, and it was her 7 Lessons of Business and Life. And one of her lessons was Be Bold, Dig Deep, and it talks about this exact thing. And I remember reading this article going, oh my God, she's in my head. Like, this is exactly what I feel all the time. She talks about being like not feeling ready for any of the opportunities that were put in front of her, but she gained confidence from knowing that people that support her have made these choices, and she needs to get confidence from that. She needs to be bold, dig deep, and she needs to get on with it. Anyway, I just think if someone at the level of running one of the biggest organisations we have here in Australia also feels this way, it's real. And we should talk about it, we should lean into it, and we should collectively support each other to move through it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. I completely agree, which is exactly why I have these very podcast conversations, because it's so true. It's like people can look at people like yourself and go, how has she done it? She's so confident. Things must just come so easy for her. Or my worst, she's so lucky. I hate that. It's like we create our own luck in life, right? But it's so true. And I think that it sounds like you just had that pattern interrupt. It's like, you know, oh, I'm like, you know, this, I'm not good. No, this isn't going to work. And then your dad was like, well, go back and tell them then that they should have someone else. And you're like, oh, hang on a minute. But it gets you to think, no, I am. Hang on a minute. No, I'm not doing that. I am good. I'm going to do this. And I can just imagine what went through your mind at that time. Like, how dare you say that to me? But my dad and your dad sound very similar, because I think that's been exactly the same response he'd give me. Again, a bit of that tough love, which I think we need in life. I think sometimes the world's got a little bit too soft, and sometimes that little bit of tough love and discipline and that little bit of a push is what we need. But I personally respond well to that. And I know not everyone does, but I am a bit of like a, come on, Georgie, you can do this, you know, like, you know, so that's really, really important. But again, everyone does respond differently to that. But you're so right. And I haven't read that Seven Lessons in Business and Life, but I'm going to, because imposter syndrome comes up all the time. And it came up for me recently as well, because I was doing a talk at UniSuper for their career expo, and myself and Pam went in to do this talk to all of the women, and it was all around like accelerating your careers. And I sort of thought, who am I to do this in front of all these amazing women? And all these doubts came in, and then I switched it and I go, well, who am I not to? And I'm the perfect person to do this. And I had to completely reframe in my mind. But that in itself is skill. A lot of people, when we talk about confidence, they don't realize it can be built, and it is a skill. I was really painfully shy in school, and I've worked on my confidence over the years. So my next question is, how have you gone about building your career confidence? Because you come across as a very confident female, but obviously, as you've just said, there's been moments of doubt, there's been moments of imposter syndrome. So how have you built that confidence in yourself and your ability?
I think exactly what you've just explained, Georgie, the reframing, being that's a muscle that needs to be practiced over time. And I still get it today, but there's triggers that you can look for, and then there's reframing action that you can do, right? Why not me? Absolutely, why not me is one way to be able to do that. Another coach said to me once, when you've got any of these thoughts that are negative towards your ability, or just sit back and think, when was the one time that someone gave you that feedback? And quite often there isn't, right? It's quite often the opposite. And they kind of said, you need to have fact-based behind your thoughts. So your thoughts need to be based on tangible facts that you can put your fingers on. And quite often you can't. The other bit that I really lean on is that board table of my supporters. I lean on them and I call them. And it's really important that they are people who will kind of, like, you're right, tough love doesn't work for everyone. It does for me, particularly from people I respect. has to be people you respect. But they also need to be really, really honest, because there are times when people have said to me, oh, Lauren, you probably didn't handle that in the right way. Or maybe maybe you should have thought about that a bit differently. So then you need to have respect, and it be based on absolute brutal honesty as well, right? So that you can balance it. But when I call it the death spiral, right? Like, when your brain starts to go in a bit of a death spiral and you think, this isn't healthy, I need to stop this. You either reframe yourself, ask yourself questions, doesn't work. Think about a fact base, doesn't work. Then I call my phone a friend, my phone a friend network to try and kind of pull me out of it. You need to be very purposeful about that. This is going to happen to everyone, and it does happen to men as well. It doesn't just happen to females. It happens to everybody. So it's very important that you identify these passions as they're happening and you act on them. Don't dwell in it. Act on it. I think the second thing, just to kind of lean into really honestly about career confidence, is that there are, you know, introverts and extroverts, and introverts need to practice and learn how to be outgoing and, you know, full of energy in kind of presenting yourself, building your career, making networking, building sponsors. Even as a leader, I'm a deep introvert, and having to get up in front of people and speak is actually, it's very energy sucking. It takes a lot. And it's something that I have purposely focused on in terms of my development over my career as well. Being an introvert, sitting down, asking someone for a coffee that you don't know can be really hard. So I think the other thing for me specifically is being very aware of my personality, being very aware of things that make me feel uncomfortable that are important, and actively leaning into that as well. Another story about my dad. He bought me for Christmas one year an acting course to go on. And I remember sitting there going, oh, holy moly, what am I doing this for? But he bought it for me for this exact reason. And he actually did it himself for this exact reason. It was, how do you actually put yourself through discomfort? It wasn't just a normal acting. It was like impromptu stuff. Yeah, it was really uncomfortable. But geez, it taught me a whole lot about myself, my personality, and the sort of things that I need to grow and develop to be able to build confidence. It doesn't always come naturally. It needs to be built.
I completely agree. And your dad sounds like, I'm just going to say, a fantastic parent. And look, I'm not a parent, so I'm not going to comment, but I do think that that type of like old school parenting, where you're not just going to like let your kids get away with stuff and sit with them and say, it's okay, you don't have to do that. Like, I didn't have parents like that. My parents were pretty strict, to be honest. And they were like, Georgina, sometimes in life, we've got to do things you don't want to do. Put your pants on and get out there and do it. Right. Like it was none of this, oh, it's okay, it's going to be okay. It was like, no, get your shoes on, we're going. Like that was kind of it, right? And again, it's like, I'm not a parent, so I cannot comment, because it's the toughest job in the world, obviously the most rewarding as well. But yeah, it sounds like your dad did a lot of things really right, because he pushed you to do these really uncomfortable things. And I think we need to build our children with that type of resilience and teach them the power of discomfort and being uncomfortable. And it's okay to feel embarrassed and awkward, because we're always going to be put in these situations throughout our life. We can't avoid them unless we want to live in a box. And if we want to have successful careers, we're going to have to stand up and step out outside of our comfort zone. So it just sounds like you had that fantastic foundation, Lauren, that definitely would have helped shape you into the woman you are today. So I think that's a really important message for a lot of parents out there as well.
Absolutely. And you know what? I have an hour's worth of stories of the really scary things he made us do as children. Huge big hikes and there was a canoeing trip once where we got rescued by the SES. That went a bit off track. But both my dad and my mum were very, very big on resilience. Very, very big on resilience. And I've done quite a few leadership courses where they make you reflect back on what has shaped you as an individual. And I often go back to this point, Georgie, which is my parents both absolutely focused on us doing scary things. Doing scary things, safe but scary things, right? And I really feel strongly that it is part of who I am today. And as a parent of three, it does. It's hard. My husband's much better at it. I kind of think I need to close my eyes or turn my back, and then I'm okay. When they jump off something really high or go for that big jump on their skateboard or whatever, but. It's a really important and good point that you make.
Yeah, I just think, again, it's like success leads clues. And I think your childhood does obviously shape you. And look, but also at the same time, it doesn't have to be your story. And I think a lot of people claim that as their identity. I had a really tough upbringing, and I've had a really rough start in life. So therefore, and it becomes an excuse and a self-fulfilling prophecy. Everyone's got their own different starts in life. Some had, more stable foundations than others. But I do think that no matter what kind of start in life you've had, you can always turn it around. And it's like going back to what you said at the start, those big choices, start before you're ready. Like, everyone's capable of carving out their own career path and their own life path. So I want everyone who listens to this podcast, whether they've had great parents that taught them valuable lessons or not, to know that you are in charge of your life, and you carve it, and you get to decide what happens. So
one thing that I work on quite a bit with my eldest boy, who has got a DNA that is just positioned for perfection. Like he just, even if he's colouring in and something's outside the lines, he gets really upset with himself. You know, the fact that it's okay not to be perfect. It's okay for things not to be 100% right. And I've already touched on it. I learned this throughout my career as well. You know, when you spend 80% of the time on a task just to get it 10% better. And you know, this whole perfection is actually stifles progress often, right? And I see that in my son. He strives for perfection, but in reality, yeah, it's kind of the same as doing it scary things. It, you don't have to be perfect at everything. You can always, learn along the way. Yeah, and be okay with that.
Yeah. Progress over perfection is one of my favorite mottos, and done is better than perfect. But so many amazing lessons this podcast. I'm just absolutely loving it. But I want to sort of touch upon now before we sort of like we conclude this, and I'm going to have you back on, I know, because there's just so many other things I'd love to speak to you about. But I want to talk about D&I. And look, it does sound like Suncorp in particular, from what you've said, is a really fair, inclusive place to work. And I have a recruitment company, and we hear a lot, we want to hire more women and we want to hire more diversity. And then you look behind the doors of the culture, the leadership team aren't bought in, there's no sort of like inclusion going on, there's no sense of belonging, it's quite a toxic culture. So how have yourself building your team, how have you gone about building your team with the right people? And why do you think D&I, especially in these larger corporations, is so important that we really do focus on this?
Oh, it is so important. And like personally, the reason why I think it's so important is because I am the first one to say, I do not have all the answers. I am not going to be able to solve all the problems on my own. And the only way that you get new creativity and being able to lean into the different spaces as a team is to have diversity of thought. And it's only going to come from having a diverse team. I still learn a lot from the people in my team that are the most different to me. Like whether it's age, I have some people that are at different demographics to me on my leadership team. And oh my gosh, the conversations that I have with them are so great because I learn so much from their experience and really value that. And the different perspectives that can bring to a conversation is critical for an organisation that's looking to do things differently, which we all need to be, right? You know, in a changing environment at the pace of change, we all need to be thinking about different ways to solve problems. I think just a couple of reflections. Look, diversity doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen just by sitting back and hoping it will happen. It has to be purposeful. I know that the metrics conversation can be quite controversial. Some people don't think that it depends on the metrics that you measure. One thing that the expanded technology team at Suncorp has done is we actually don't just measure the number of females in senior leadership roles, which often like is a common metric in a lot of organizations. So once you get to my level or beyond, deemed a senior leader, they measure that metric. We actually go all the way and measure the metrics of first line leaders all the way through so that we can identify how well we're going at managing the pipeline of talent versus just the talent once that gets there. And then I think the sort of work that you do, that Pam does in terms of making sure that there is a very diverse set of candidates reviewed for every role is really important and not easy. I can say that now, like particularly like the hardcore tech skills, right? Like it's not easy, but I do think that it is it's a must. It's a must. It takes a lot of work. It takes a bit of time and it means that you need to spend time going through, allow time to a recruitment process. the right candidate should get the role at the end, but it's absolutely important that we assess a diverse set of candidates. And then, you know, I think that decisions around promotion is really important as well. Maternity leaves go real quickly. I can tell you that, you know, they really, really do. And I think my story is just as important, like representative of that. As leaders, you really need to make decision based on best person for role and get creative around how you make it happen. And then, you know, other elements to be really honest about as a leader is things like salary, gender pay gaps and other elements, making choices. Again, that can be some hard conversations within the organisation, but ones that you absolutely need to surface, you know, as a leader. And, you know, and then I think once you've actually got a diverse team, which isn't easy to build or keep, but once you get there, it's one thing just to have the right people on your leadership team. It's another thing to create and foster an environment where people have the voice that they need to, that they're there to bring. You know, so many times, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Georgie, like there are a couple of people that have a ringing loud voice and the rest are quite quiet, and maybe you learn a lot more from them in a one-on-one versus a collaboration. As a leader, it's important that you create space for everyone to have a voice and to be heard. There's so many times that I've walked into meetings and it's almost like it's silence because people are waiting for the leader to talk. and I always find that really awkward, and that stifles the diversity that I've worked so hard to create. So yeah, how do you lean into those biases? How do you make sure that you create time in every meeting to make sure that people's perspectives have been heard? I'm a big fan of just the meetings that I do with my team where I have no set agenda. They set the agenda and we just listen and talk about topics that are top of mind for them, and making sure that it's not my perspective that's on the table. I'm purposely listening to everyone else's perspective so that you get that diversity of thought.
Well, the world needs more leaders like you, Lauren, that is for sure. And I just think your story is so inspiring, and I really hope that there's a lot of people that are in leadership roles listening to this right now who, there's an opportunity coming up, they know that they've got a female that's going on mat leave, like who cares? Like, why should that even come up to your in your decision process? The right person for the role is the right person for the role. Give that promotion anyway, and you will keep that. Like, you're an asset to Suncorp. There's no denying that. You've become an absolute asset to that business. Had they not supported you through your journey, you would not be there. You'd probably gone somewhere else. You'd have been tapped on the shoulder. Hey, Lauren, come over here. And they will have lost you. And I think so many companies are losing out to their competitors because they're not providing the opportunities within their business to support these women who want to have a career and want to have a family. And you are missing out on so much talent. So much talent. I think that's such a big takeaway because you are walking, talking proof of that. But just final piece about leadership. Like, what do you think are really good qualities that if somebody was wanting to step up into your shoes eventually, what have you had to work on as a leader? What comes naturally? What doesn't come naturally? What sort of traits do you think make a good leader?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, good leadership is just being a really good human. Right. So I think the first thing that I try and pride myself from and pride my brand is just compassion and honesty. Right. And that's what compassion, honesty, and just, yeah, being a really warm and generous leader, I think is really important. That doesn't mean that you can't and shouldn't have hard conversations and honest, constructive conversations. I think that's a balance that needs to be developed over time. But I've always thought to myself, be true to yourself first and foremost, and you can have really difficult conversations with people on really difficult topics and still stay true to a honest, compassionate style of leadership. I think we've touched on the things that I've had to really develop to be able to to be able to grow my career, and that is confidence and bold choices. It's my, purposely working around my introvert nature to kind of build energy within a team and to get myself out there. The bold choices, never saying just the first answer, everything has to be yes. Like, yes, and why not? And how can I make this work? I think for me, Georgie, the biggest thing is spend time to think about the sort of leader that you want to be and build a brand around that and stay truthful to that. It's easy to kind of get lost in the manic of every day. But my leadership style is one of compassion and honesty. That's kind of what I pride myself on. And then I think the final thing, and actually Gail Kelly talks about this in her article, so you'll have to go and have a read of that one. She talks about choosing the right people to be on the bus. And your leadership success is going to be defined by the team that you build, the diverse team that you build, the culture that you build within that, and that all comes down to talent. So I think it's really important to be very thoughtful of the talent that you choose to work with and to make fast, decisive decisions when things might not be working.
Amazing. Lauren, I could sit here and chat to you all day because I just love these conversations. But what's next for you, and where can I send people who want to connect with you and find out more about yourself?
Well, there is a monster worth of delivery here at Suncorp for me. So I am being kept busy every day with that mission in front of us. So that's what's next for me. And then just continuing to be mum and continuing to be a wife and trying to strike that balance. Always welcome LinkedIn. It's the place. Reach out. I'm on there. Lauren Lance from Suncorp. More than happy to have conversations with people.
We'll make sure we put all the links below. But Lauren, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that, and I can't wait to share the next episode with you.